Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Got any regrets? I mean, not your whole life. We don't have time for that. I'm just talking about last week. Anything? Anything? Anyone? All right, I'll go first. Jalapeno bacon cheeseburger with curly fries. And when the not one but two people with whom I was eating lunch did not finish their fries, I made sure nothing was wasted. The burger was sweet, but the regret was bitter. We all have regrets. We have things we wish we hadn't done, sins that need forgiveness, and we carry these things with us. We have gotten these lists from Christianity, from the church. Sometimes just even if you didn't grow up in the church, the culture itself has been influenced enough by these lists that you pick them up. The list of bad things you're not supposed to do, you know, the things that if you do, you should feel bad about them. Many of these things happen in Tijuana, but they just as easily can happen at George's, like after 11:30, you know, the families have finished and gone home. They can also happen in your backyard, and they can also happen in your heart and in your mind. We are like the California pop punk band Lit sings, we are our own worst enemy many times. How did the car end up in the front yard? That's what that song says. So we have the list of things we're not supposed to do, and we carry that around because we've done those things, so we feel regret. But there's also the list of things that we should do. The church going, the Bible reading, the prayer attendance, the reducing of one's carbon footprint, all those things that we should do. But often we fail to do those things because The Bachelor's not going to watch itself, you know? So we ask for forgiveness. But how many of you, I wonder, this week or ever, have ever prayed like this? Lord, I am so sorry. I am weighed down with guilt. This week, if you could have mercy, because I haven't loved my enemies enough. Was that on your list? Loving your enemies? You ever felt just massive soul-crushing guilt for being unloving towards your enemies? Somehow, for a lot of us, loving our enemies is not one of those things that's on our radar of things that God cares about. I mean, sure, we've heard it. We know it, but it's not the thing, you know, we tend to focus on the other lists, but not the one that says love your enemies. I apologize for bringing it up. I know those grudges are just sweet to hold and cradle. Love you. You make me feel so good and righteous. It feels good to be angry at people sometimes. And we have lots of opportunities. Facebook should be renamed Grudge Book. You know, we're just on there trying to tell people to agree with us, and we're angry at them. We're just as good doing it in person as well. We got lots of practice. Opportunities to practice loving our enemies, but we don't always do it. So Jesus comes on the scene here in Matthew 5. We've been reading the Sermon on the Mount, and he lays it out. He says, love your enemies. So get with it, people. What's he saying? What's going on here? It's in the context of turning the other cheek and going the extra mile and all of this stuff. Well, I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it, and I want to say two things. first, just as we kind of try to get our arms around what he's saying, I put it to you today that love of enemies gets to the core of Christianity. In many senses, the heart of what it is we teach and believe and what Jesus did. Again, we tend to have this inherited belief, as I said at the beginning, that Christianity is lists of things to do and things not to do. But really, this love seems to be at the center of it, really. That's what it really is. And Jesus puts a very fine point on it today and says, love of enemies. So if this is the core thing, let's take a look. All right, so in this passage, he says, you've heard it said this, but I tell you this. That's what he's been doing for a few weeks here. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Love your neighbors, but not your enemies. But I'm going to upend all of that. I'm going to turn that all upside down. And if somebody has done you wrong, slapped you on the cheek, give them the other one. Make sure they get both sides. If someone says, hey, give me your shirt, give him the shirt and give him your members only jacket. Right? If a Roman soldier comes along and says, hey, you poor Jewish peasant, go walk a mile and carry this thing down the road to the next battalion down there. Don't just do that. Go to that one and then go to the next one. Go 2 miles. Are you saying have bad boundaries, Jesus? Just let people ask us to do all this stuff? Just give ourselves up? And then love our enemies? So what's he doing? I always tell people, Jesus' ethics are great. We all hear that, right? Great ethical teacher. And until you read them, and you're like, wow, that's hard. So that's the first thing he's doing. That's the first thing I want to say, that Jesus here, like he's been doing in the whole passage we've been reading, Jesus is raising the bar. We thought we just had to be good like this down here, but he's saying, no, the standard is much higher. It's easy to love the people who like you back. I'm saying like the ones that don't. So he's raising the bar, which opens us maybe to needing some help from God. We're not as good as we thought we were. But here's the other thing I want to say about this passage, what Jesus is doing here by naming our enemies. By saying, love your enemies. What he's doing here is he is zeroing in on the place of your great wound, loss, and hurt. Because we might be tempted to think of our enemy as those people out there that we don't like and that don't like us. But almost every human being I've known has an actual person, maybe more than one, who occupies that special place in your heart labeled enemy. And they are there because he or she or they have actually caused you great woundedness. There is some betrayal, there is some pain, there is some loss. There's unresolved grief. Often comes from very early in life, but it can happen at any point. But there is someone in there who is very difficult to love. Because they are your enemy. And so when Jesus says, love your enemy, he is nailing that place. He is focusing especially on that place where you have been carrying that wound around for years. And he's saying, that person, that's the place that I need to address. That unhealed place, that wounded place. That is where I want to go. And we don't like to look at it. We don't like to talk about it. We are like the Rocket Man. Sir Elton John sings, I'm not the man. I'm not going to do the falsetto, but you can imagine. He sings in Rocket Man, one of the greatest songs of all time, I am not the man they think I am at all. We all have this wound. I don't care who you are. You have not lived for 5 minutes without getting hurt. And there is a place in there where your enemy is because of that wound. And when Jesus says, love your enemies, suddenly it's gotten out of the realm of abstractions, of do good and be a religious person. He's gotten very real here when he says, love your enemies. And by zeroing in on it, he gets your attention. And suddenly this God stuff matters. And it matters because by saying it, by naming it, and by pointing you to look at that place, he's now accelerated the T-boning of your life, the hitting the obstacle. You know, right? That's when you hit somebody at an intersection. He's getting you to the place where you can no longer make progress because you've run into an obstacle that you cannot overcome. Those resentments, those grudges, those places where we find the impossibility of loving the people that have hurt us, that's where he gets us to today. And that's, if we can get there, it's a painful place. No one wants to do it, but that's where he takes us. And if we're there, then maybe we're ready to hear what is going on underneath what he says in Matthew 5. And this is the second thing I want to say. I said two things. The first was Jesus says, love your enemies. And so he takes us to that place of great woundedness. The second thing that I want to say is that Jesus in this passage knows that he's giving us an impossible task, knows that he's giving us something we cannot do. He, as the scripture says, Jesus knows what's in the heart of a person. And what he's really doing here is talking about himself. Jesus is the only one who has ever fulfilled this command to actually love an enemy, and not just one, but a whole bunch. That is to say, to love us. Now, you may not think of yourself as an enemy of God, but I bet there have been times in your life where you have hurt others. You have acted in self-destructive ways, where that has been, you've pursued a course of unloving action towards yourself and others, which is, if God is love, you've put yourself in opposition to the purposes of God in the universe, which is to say, an enemy. And if that's us, and we are hitting that wall today, that impossible wall, that brick wall, because we've been asked to love the very person we cannot love. And so what Jesus is saying is, yes, but I am the person who loves enemies and who loves you in your impossible situation, in that hump you can't get over. I love you even there. And he says as much. He says, because God is the one, he points out, God is the one who sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous and makes the sun fall on the good and the evil. God loves this way, and Jesus loves this way. And it's what he's about to do when he goes to the cross, and he is struck on the cheek. And what does he do? Nothing. Turns the other one. He is forced to walk a mile as he carries his cross to Golgotha. And does he just go one? No, he goes the next mile and the next, down the Kidron Valley and back up into towards the Jerusalem, where he'll be outside the city, where that cross will be put into the ground and he will be hoisted upon it. Jesus is the one, when faced with massive betrayal, rejection, hatred, malice, anger, all the stuff that when you received it, you pushed back. Jesus receives that from the human race. And he integrates that all into the divine heart of a loving God by receiving it all on the cross. And in receiving that, he is the only one who has done what he says to do in Matthew 5. And in doing so, he takes away the barriers for you. Maybe. He wipes away all your sin, makes you able, maybe, to see that you are loved. Even in your impossible situations, you're loved right at the point of the impact with the brick wall. You're loved there, even you. And in that, if there might be a slight crack in your armor, a breach of the defenses, because that's what all your anger and grudges are, right? They're defense mechanisms. You won't hurt me again. I won't let you do that to me. But if we see we've been loved in our reality by this incredible, gracious God who goes all the way to the cross for us in Jesus Christ, we might be so undone by a love like that, a love that cannot be chased away, forced away, pushed away, rejected away, a love that always follows, always pursues, always embraces you in your reality. If you can find a love like that, that might just turn the key. You might just be able today, maybe, to love someone who does not deserve a shred of your love, because you, beloved child of God, you have been loved as you are by God in Christ. No fooling. Amen.